Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Midrash of the Week podcast. For something a little different, I decided to use a different sort of source this week, one which is, strictly speaking, not a Midrashic source, but which is very much based upon Midrashic sources. And I'm referring to one of the piyutim, one of the songs, that appears at the end of the Haggadah, or towards the end of the Haggadah, that we say on Leil HaSeder. The piyut that I'm referring to is Uvechen Ve'amartem Zevach Pesach. And this is one of those piyutim that by the time you get to it, many people are half asleep, if not entirely asleep. So just a quick bit of background for those people who might not be intimately familiar with the details of this particular piyut. It's essentially a list of different events in Jewish history that, according to Midrashic sources, occurred on the night of Pesach. And one of these events, this is found in the third paragraph of the piyut, is the destruction of stone that happened during the days of Avraham. And I'll read to you two lines that are relevant to this subject. Zoamim, zoamust, Sodomim v'lohatu va'esh ba'pesach chulat lot mehem u'matzot afa b'ketz pesach. The people of Sodom were consumed in fire on Pesach, and Lot was saved from them, was saved from the fire, and he baked matzot at the end, or towards the end of Pesach. Now, this idea that the destruction of Sodom occurred on Pesach is based on a number of different Midrashic sources, although I don't think there's any Midrashic source that states it as clearly as the famous Rashi, right? When it says that the angels, right, after the angels had visited Avraham and told Avraham that he was going to have a son in 1 year's time, and then proceeded to tell him that Hashem is going to destroy Sodom, the angels then move on to Sodom itself in order to destroy Sodom and to save Lot. And the story in Bereshit, Perek Yutet, tells us that when the angels first come to Lot's house, he makes a meal for them and he bakes matzot. And Rashi famously says on that pasuk, Pesach haya, it was Pesach. Now, it's safe to say that everyone's first association with matzah is the holiday of Pesach. Nevertheless, is it really possible to take what Rashi says literally, right? I mean, surely Rashi doesn't mean to say that Lot was baking matzot in commemoration of an event that would not take place for another, you know, few hundred years. So there is no Midrash that states it quite as plainly as that, as far as I know, the way that Rashi does, right? It was Pesach. But there are a number of Midrashic sources which incorporate this idea that this event took place on the night of Pesach. So, for example, you could take a look at Midrash Breshit Rabbah. In Breshit Rabbah Nun, right, Nun Yud Bet, you can find a Midrash which takes for granted this idea that stone was destroyed on Pesach. Right, it also is connected to other Midrashim, which, for example, say that Yitzchak was born on Pesach. So if Yitzchak was born on Pesach, that means that a year earlier the angels visited Avraham to tell Avraham that in 1 year he would have a son. So that event also occurred on Pesach, since that occurred right before the destruction of Sodom, so that you could say that the stone was destroyed on Pesach. Right? So these Midrashim are all, you know, linked in that way that Midrashim often link one with another. So what I'd like to try to understand, to uncover a little bit, is what's the significance of this fact? Why is the Midrash so into this idea that stone was destroyed on Pesach? Where does it come from, and what is the message of it? So we've done with other Midrashim, what I'd first like to look at is the textual source for this. Like, where in the story of the destruction of Sodom do they get this idea that this event occurred on the night of Pesach? And then to go on to the second task of trying to understand what it's all about, like what's the meaning of it all. Like we've seen in many other Midrash podcasts before this one, when a midrash says something like this, when a midrash either states or takes for granted this type of thing, right, that in this case, that that this event took place the same time as another event, that the destruction of stone took place at this on the day of Pesach, which of course, again, did not happen to many, many, many years later, then what the Midrash is begging for you to do is to look at those two events, right? Look at Bereshit, Perek Yutet, where stone is destroyed, and compare it to Shmot Perek Yudbet, where Pesach occurs. Just to clarify, when I say Pesach, what I mean here specifically is the event of the bringing of the Korban Pesach, right? The special Korban that Bnei Israel left sacrificed just prior to leaving Egypt, which was tied in together with the last plague, right, the Makat Becharot, when all of the firstborns of Egypt were killed, right, because Bnei Israel were spared that plague in merit of the fact that they brought the Korban Pesach, right, they brought the Korban, they took the blood and put it on the doorposts, and that is what saved the firstborns of Bnei Israel from being killed along with the firstborns of the Egyptians, right, so that plague of the firstborn is connected very strongly with the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, and that of course leads into the actual Exodus, because once that plague happens, Paro finally says, "Okay, get out," and Bnei Israel then proceed to leave Egypt. Now I will leave it to you, my listeners, to do a careful comparison of these two prakim, right, Perek Yutet and Breshit, Perek Yudbet and Shmot, to see all the details, all the nuances, see all the many parallels that exist. I'm going to mention the key ones in order to appreciate what it is that the Midrash is doing here. The two most obvious comparisons between these two prakim come at the moment of when Lot, on the one hand, has to leave Sodom before he's destroyed along with it, and Bnei Israel, on the other hand, have to leave Egypt, you know, at that moment when they are finally allowed to leave. So in the story of Lot, we read Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayetze Lot Veidaber al Chatonav Lokchei Venotav Vayomer Kumu Tzeu Min Hamakom Hazeh Ki Mashchit Hashem Et Ha'ir Vayihi Ki Misachek Be'edei Chatonav. Lot says to his sons-in-law, right, his daughter's husbands, Kumu Tzeu Min Hamakom Hazeh, right, get up and go out of this place, because Hashem is destroying the city. A careful reader can't help notice the similarity to Shmot Perek Yudbet Pasuk Lamed Aleph. After the plague of the firstborn has occurred, Paro calls to Moshe and Aharon, Vayikra Moshe ula Aharon Laila, Vayomer Kumu Tzu Mitoch Ami, get up and go from my people, Gam Atem Gam Bnei Israel, Ulechu Ivdu Et Hashem Kedavrechem, right, get out, go, go like you wanted to go all this time that you've been asking me. The language, though, is startlingly similar, right? Lot says Kumu Tzu Mina Makom Hazeh, and Paro says Kumu Tzu Mitochami. The comparison continues in Pasuk Tet Zayin. Well, let's go back one Pasuk to Pasuk Tet Vav in Perek Yud Tet of Breshit. וכמו השחר עלה ויעיצו המלאכים בלוט לאמור קום קח את אשתך ואת שתי בנותיך הנמצאות פן תצפה בעוון העיר. Now the angels are urging Lot to go quickly lest he be destroyed with the city, and then הפסוק תצא, it says ויעיץ מהמה ויחזיקו האנשים בידו וביד אשתו וביד שתי בנותיו בחמלת השם עליו. Right, he hesitates, Vayitz Mahama, and the angels have to take him by the hand, him and his father by the hand, and literally take them out. Again, a careful reader will notice that this pasuk is very similar to pasuk lamedtet in Perek Yud Bet of Shmot, when it talks about Bnei Israel taking the dough out of Mitzrayim, and that they were matzot, they did not become chametz. Why? Ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu lehit mahamer, because they were chased out of Mitzrayim, and they were not able to hesitate. Right, so here it's more of a contrast. While Lot hesitates, and he has to be dragged out by the angels, here it says the Bnei Israel were not able to hesitate.
Another more subtle parallel between the two comes again also in Pasuk Tet Zayin of Perek
Yutet, which says that the angels had to drag Lot and his family out, Bechemlat Hashem Alav, at the time that Hashem was having compassion for him. This is not quite as striking a parallel, and yet it's an interesting comparison to the events of Shmot Perek Yud Bet, when, of course, we know that when Bnei Israel would sacrifice the Korban Pesach, they were to take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel of Perek Yud Bet, Veraiti et Adam ufasachti alechem, right? Hashem would see the blood and would pasach over Bnei Israel. Now that word upasachti is usually translated as "and I will pass over you" and "I will skip over you," right? Hence the name of the holiday in English, Passover, and that indeed is a meaning of the word. But another possible translation is that I will, like we have in the pasuk in Bereshit Yutet, I will have compassion over you. And indeed, if you look at Targum Unkelus on these two psukim, the same word, right, for compassion, having compassion, is used in translating both of these psukim, right? The Chemlat Hashem Alav, when Hashem had compassion for Lot, and in Shemot Yud Bet, Ufasachti Alechem, I had compassion for you, right? I did not kill you because I had compassion for you, right? So it's interesting that there, too, there is a parallel. And, of course, right, there's the context of both of these stories. In both cases, we have a nation, right, evil, each in its own way, which is getting divine punishment because of what it did, and Hashem is destroying them each in a very impressive, shall we say, manner. And so in that way, the stories are parallel as well. And again, I encourage each of you to read both of the Prakim to find some of the more parallel, more subtle comparisons that one can make between these two Prakim. Another interesting study you can do, take a look at the third chapter of the book of Malachi, which, not coincidentally, is the Haftarah that we read on Shabbat HaGadol. And there, too, you can see many of these same parallels. Essentially, each of these three stories is describing the same thing, a Yom Hashem, in a sense, where Hashem comes and punishes the bad guys, rescues the good guys, and in that way brings Geulah of that moment. One last comparison, of course, which bears mentioning, is the fact that at the beginning, as I already mentioned, at the beginning of the story with Lot in Sodom, it says that he baked matzot for the Malachim when he came. So back to our original question, was Lot really baking matzot in commemoration of an event that didn't occur yet? So the answer, of course, is no. But in truth, however, the day that the angels showed up at his doorstep and ate his matzot really was Pesach, right, as we've seen by comparing these two prakim. When Am Yisrael was preparing to leave Egypt, great emphasis is made in that parak to say that it was important for them to make a quick and clean break from Egyptian society, from that society which had enslaved them. Right, the Korban Pesach was meant to be a sign. Right, that's why they put the blood on the doorpost, that they were breaking from that Egyptian society, and they were now dedicating themselves to Hashem. And the idea that the Korban Pesach had to be eaten b'chipazon, it had to be eaten quickly, and that they didn't have time to hesitate. Lo yachlu lehitmaneh again emphasizes that B'nai Israel were entering this new stage without hesitation, quickly, leaving everything behind. The question, of course, is, does Lot succeed in doing this as well? And I think the comparison shows us that, no, he did not. While B'nai Israel leave quickly without hesitating, we are told that Lot does hesitate, Vayit Mahama, right? His wife, even more so, looks back over her shoulder at the city being destroyed, and that is why she is punished, right? Because she too was unable to make that break that was necessary for moving on to the next stage. So while Lot is not a bad guy, he's not like those evil doers in Sodom, he also doesn't make it back to Abraham. He is not able to make it all the way to return to Abraham and Abraham's mission. Instead, he gets waylaid. He goes off to Tzoar, and he becomes his own nation, or nations. He isn't able to be redeemed in the way that perhaps was meant to happen. It is no coincidence, of course, that when Lot first goes to settle in Sodom, Sodom is compared to Egypt. It's described as a very fertile land, right, that is like a garden of Hashem, which is like the land of Mitzrayim, right? So Lot chooses a place like that to live in, and unlike B'nai Israel, he is unable to separate himself out from that society when it was necessary to do so. This day, right, that Sodom was destroyed, was, like the day of Yetziat Mitzrayim, a day of reckoning, right? A day of reckoning for the evil nation that's being punished, but also for those who are being saved. Are they able now to make the most of the fact that they've been redeemed, that they've been taken out, that they've been saved, to go on to the next stage, or not? And the comparison shows that B'nai Israel succeeded in this, but Lot did not. And so, in the context of the stories of Sefer Bereshit, the message is clear, right? The storyline continues with Abraham, with Abraham's descendants, going on and leading eventually to the Pesach story, whereas the story of Lot goes off in a different direction and doesn't lead eventually into that main narrative that the Torah is coming to teach us.